Thank you. Welcome, good morning. Great, thank you. We'll do a call to order, please, or we'll...
Governor Quinn, Secretary Hannock, Chair Wolf.
Here.
Director Vank.
Here.
Director Canham.
Here.
Director Moore.
Here.
Director Cradle.
Here.
Director Saldana.
Here.
Director Towns.
Here.
Director Wiseman.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. So first I want to congratulate Christy, who got married.
Can we have the photos next meeting?
Yeah, we'll have the fun.
They're going to be...
Screen savers for all of you.
And then we did the energy consumption baseline alternative energy assessment presentation earlier, but I thought Christy could just summarize quickly for the public who might not have been at that part of the meeting.
We had a good presentation. Jeff Redding took advantage of a gap between... timing between meetings to do that presentation earlier. The tollway had an assessment of our energy practices, policies, operations. A company called Electrotech. We found that we have, you know, a lot of different utility accounts, and there was a need to better track and manage those. That there were also some opportunities for us at a relatively low cost to install, particularly starting in the central administration building here. Some technologies or improvements that would help us reduce energy costs. So we've already taken steps and have developed a database to better track all of our utility accounts and make sure that we are staying current on those and understand the different costs associated with the different infrastructure that we have here at the tollway. Jeff mentioned some early installations of improvements here at Central Administration, including simply installing some window tinting. I think the contract amount was just over $30,000, correct?
At the Central Administration,
so just under $40,000. We'll save between 20% and 25% on our heating and cooling costs going forward, and the energy costs for heating and cooling. So we think there's significant opportunities for more improvement. Jeff, if there's something big that I missed there, but just to give the highlights of the presentation, we appreciate all of your work on that, and I think have some opportunities to take additional steps to comply with the governor's Executive Order 11, which mandates that we reduce our environmental impact as a government organization and state organization. So,
and I think Paul had mentioned that we had done some environmental presentation or something outside.
Yes, the tollway, under your direction previously and Christie's, we conducted our first university research symposium, and Director Morris and both Director Towns were there to hear that, and it was a very unique event for the tollway. We hadn't had one of these before, and it was exciting to see everybody there. I don't remember the exact numbers.
The room was full.
So we had a good representation of the better minds in the area, and we John Benda and Tom Delden and Angela Laporte and Rocco all got up and spoke about all these things that we're interested in, including some of the things that Jeff was talking about with energy reduction and some green initiatives and some sustainability initiatives, and it was well received, and we're looking forward to hearing back from them. We gave them a little bit of takeaway items so that they could investigate the scopes that we were talking about and give us some proposals, and we're going to hopefully be able to move forward with some of that.
Yeah, if Carl and I were at the meeting, what was interesting is it was a real broad spectrum of universities. Of course, Rocco had Purdue there, I believe. but we had U of I, and we also had some of the smaller universities, some community colleges, people from city colleges, and they were encouraged, and afterwards several mentioned to me, to do sort of joint ventures, so that rather than just Purdue versus U of I versus city colleges, the encouragement was to say, here's a list of things you might want to do. So it was kind of fun. And it was good learning for me to see some of the things that are being done by engineering and John's function in that, where we can really do some updating. So it was really nice. I appreciate being invited.
Thank you. And we recommend, if anybody has not looked at the slides that Jeff presented, that they do that, because it's very interesting. Okay. I have not been notified that there's anyone interested in public comment. I just want to make sure. Okay. So we'll move to the approval of the minutes. I do not see the executive committee minutes or the OASIS committee meeting minutes on here, so. Is it because I don't know how to get to them? Why don't we defer these until our meeting next month so that we're sure that everybody has seen them and has a chance to review them? But I would call for a motion for approval of the minutes of the regular board meeting on May 26th.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The minutes are approved. I'd like to just take a few minutes to discuss the new committee charters and the appointment of the chairs. You should have gotten copies of each of those, and there's a resolution that we will be asked to vote on. As you remember, we started this process some time ago. The board members have spent a lot of time thinking about and talking about the role of the board and the different areas of responsibility. We have fiduciary responsibilities, we have strategic responsibilities, and we have innovative or creative responsibilities. What we've tried to do, and we've distributed a document to illustrate this. Can we get a, maybe it's not voted.
I think just the resolution
okay.
Voted.
There is a document that I think everybody should have gotten a hard copy of and you've seen before, which is the description of the various responsibilities of the committees and how the fiduciary, strategic, and innovative responsibilities break out there. We will, apropos suggestions of some trustees, reconfigure not only when the committees meet, but also how we sit when we're in this room. So we're tapping the greatest minds in America to figure out how to be able to sit in a way that's a little more conducive to discussion and decision making at a very large table. We also would ask the chairs of the committee, as they are elected and approved today, to consult with Christy and her staff on how we will time the committee meetings in advance of the whole board meeting so that the committees have an opportunity to really discuss and digest some of these issues that will come up at the board meeting and then be able to have them presented as we have in the past on the consent agenda, but to do that in a way that, that isn't scrunched in right before the full board meeting. So if we could we just take a minute or two to walk through the committee charters. Sorry. Let's start with the audit committee. Does everybody have copies of these?
Yes, and it's on our screen.
I think it's just about.
No, they've got it up here. So this is the audit committee. And Director Banks has agreed to chair the audit committee. Are there any concerns or questions about this? Well, it is up on the screen. You can look at it up there. But the
and they were circulated earlier.
Yeah, the responsibility of the audit committee will be approving the annual plan, the compliance audit and the financial statements and getting periodic reports on the audit activities and the finding of the internal auditor. So it is in some ways a very conventional audit committee charge. On the other hand, as you know, we take the audit findings extremely seriously, and I think we will be changing our outside auditors next year. Is that right?
The auditor general for the state cycles.
Right.
Firms, and this is the last year for the firm that we've been working with up to this point, so next year there'll be a new firm.
We get the privilege of paying the firm the auditor general selects.
Right. Yes, but right. It is good practice to change auditors on a regular basis. Sometimes auditors come in and they get comfortable with what they found in the past and the corrections that have been made to their findings, and they are a little. Having fresh eyes come in and look again, I think, is very important. So one of the charges of this committee is going to be to work with a new outside auditor, make sure we have an audit plan that everybody's comfortable with, and work with management to make sure that that transition goes well.
That's a wonderful practice in the financial area, and in fact, it could impact your ratings if you had the same auditor forever and ever, amen. They eventually lose credibility with the ratings.
Okay, so any questions on the audit? need to take on that one. The next one that I have is the customer service and electronic tolling charge. And this is we created a work group when we, about a year and a half ago, and we're now suggesting that this be a standing committee of the tollway. We feel it's very important to have board members involved in looking at the technology and the strategies to facilitate toll collection and the violation follow-up. We know from the working group that Bill Morris has chaired that it helped to have a discussion and iterative process about how our systems have been designed and working on, and as you know, we'll be thinking about how to overhaul the whole system, so the role of this committee is going to be very important in thinking that through, and how we also solicit customer satisfaction information. I think we've done a great job in starting to do that, but we may want to do that in a more systematic way, and this committee will be asked to do that, and then certainly identify problems and policy and solutions related to this. We've asked Bill Morris to continue moving from a working group to a standing committee, and I'm sorry, on the audit committee, I should have mentioned that Director Morris and I will serve as the members of that on this committee. Director Cradle and Towns have agreed to serve on the customer service committee. Is there any question about anything on that? Okay. The next one is the executive committee, and this will be composed of the chairs of the standing committees and then anyone else that is selected to serve on it. And this performs the sort of the management functions of the board. So the most important job that we have as a board is selecting the executive director and evaluating the executive director's performance. This committee would take committee responsibility for this. Obviously, the full board would be involved in that. We don't anticipate that's anything that's going to be happening soon, but it is going to be a responsibility of that board should we ever. I mean, we will be doing the evaluation at the end of this year, but we don't imagine we'll be selecting a new executive director. They will be setting the overall priorities for the board, making any emergency decisions on behalf of the board if there was some reason that we would have to have an emergency meeting and couldn't get all the directors together. Evaluating our own performance, I think something that good boards do is think about how we work together and what we've done and how we can improve what we do. This committee will be charged with coming up with a process to do that, involving other board members who are doing that as well, and then actually implementing that process. Looking at our governance structure and our bylaws to make sure that they're designed the way they should be. Looking at the activities and reports of the Tollway Inspector General, who reports to the board and to the executive director, but we want to make sure that we get those reports looked at in committee so the full board is not necessarily involved in detail in all of those if they need not be. And then reviewing the executive session minutes in advance of having them come to the full board in order to have them released. So it sounds like a lot, but I think these are in some ways both high level innovative or creative strategy ideas, but then also some fiduciary ideas. Are there any questions on the function or the design of this committee? And then on the Finance Administration Operations Committee, a nice mouthful for its title.
Finance and Ops.
And Director Saldana has agreed to chair this, and Directors Cannon and Morris will be members of this committee. And actually, when I talked to all of the directors, they were extremely willing to serve on any committees that they were asked to, so I appreciate all of your willingness to do that. And this committee will report on the financial performance and strategies and controls, which will also overlap to some extent with the audit committee. And then the Human Resources Administration, the policies and procedures that are related to personnel, engineering, the policies related to construction and maintenance of the tollway property, and operations, the policies related to the operations, regulation, protection of our property, and in procurement, the legal contract settlements before they're presented to the full board, procurement and contract selection process, and the minority set-aside performance. Are there any questions or concerns about that? Okay. And then finally, we have another new committee, which is the Strategic Planning Committee. And that Director Wideman has agreed to chair, and Directors Cannon and Saldana have agreed to serve. And the idea of this committee is really to think about the criteria that we use to assess the projects and our program priorities, and that would range from both a major technological proposal to the construction of a new road. We hope to do this at a very early stage in the process of these projects so that we as a board are not receiving incremental pieces of a project, and before we know it, the project has already been approved piecemeal rather than having an overview of the whole project. We want to, it would be through this committee that the multi-year capital plan to the board would flow, and we want to evaluate in this committee how systems needs and change affect stakeholders in our public business and civic interests, develop policies related to the capital investments and monitoring the congruity of the mission priorities and resources for each of the programs and project plans. So they're really to provide an integrated planning function for the board and give us enough information in advance of having to make specific implementation decisions on any project that we can really stand back and look at our projects that ultimately cost us millions and millions of dollars, think about them in the conceptual stage, and then how they'll play out individually and also as a part of the whole development of what the tollway is doing. Any questions on that one? There's a deathly silence. I hope it's because everybody has looked at this so frequently that he or she is not concerned.
Madam Chair, do you need a motion to approve this?
I would like to have the resolution approved.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, so we swing into gear for the next board meeting. We'll be asking again the chairs to consult with Christy about how actually to define the meeting schedule for your committees to make sure that the information flows into the full board. And we're going to make a continued concerted effort to get materials out to the full board members far enough in advance of the board meeting that if there are questions, they can be referred to Christy or to the chairs and or to the chairs.
If I might take member privilege and thank you, because this is something you have worked on for a long time and monitored what we have done for the past 18 months or 2 years. And I think the two things that have happened in the last 2 years that I think really led up to this. One is your approach of openness, so that really, even though we might be on a committee, we are all part of every committee and we've all participated. I think it leads to better decision making. And the other is to take the time to watch what we really do and then design the committees to that, so that we not only do long-range planning, we do things as simple as, are our customers happy? And I really appreciate your work, and I know you don't like credit for things, but you've put in literally tens and tens of hours on this, and I think it's really, I hope we can do as well as committee members going forward as you've done getting us to this point.
Well,
thank you very much.
But that's been everybody, and I appreciate your patience. I am an impatient person, so I would have done this the third day in some ways if I had not constrained myself and had the opportunity when Christy came on to consult with her. So I think this has been a very deliberative process. I think it's going to get us to a good place. I should mention that this doesn't preclude the creation of working groups. Should we have an issue that doesn't naturally fit into one of these committees, I can't imagine what it would be, but if it were, we could certainly do that. And the committee charges and structures may change a little bit as we learn how it functions. So we're approving this resolution today with the understanding that we may well discover a year or 2 years from now that we have to tweak things a little bit and change them around, but I appreciate it. So did we vote? I can't remember. Okay, so that is done. Thank you very much for your patience on this and your support. I don't think I had anything else.
Okay.
Oh, other than, I'm sorry, one thing. The governor did have a press event with the signing of a bill, and I wanted to thank Paul Kovacs for coming out. Christy was away. We were over at one of our interchanges and he signed the bill prohibiting tollway signs to have the name of sitting elected officials displayed on them. And everybody on the tollway staff performed magnificently, so I just want to thank them. And all the trucks rushed by appropriately in the background, so it was very well done. and we're happy to have that bill passed. And then there were a series of other bills in the General Assembly that were passed that were voted in Governor's signature. Okay, thanks.
Great, thank you very much. Just a couple of things under my agenda items here. It's nice to be back.
Oh, come on, tell the truth.
Came back too. Yes, no, there's a lot going on always, which is good. Which is good. I like to be busy. I wanted to take a moment to introduce a new chief of internal audit, Mike Sedali, who's here. Love to find a carve out a space for him at the table and a little placard of some kind when we do our seating reorganization. But we've did an extensive search and we're thrilled to have him on board now, a permanent head of that unit. He comes to us from Pepsi. He was there for 8.5 years. He's also worked at Baxter, so extensive experience, particularly in the private sector, doing audit compliance. I think brings a lot of skill and expertise, and I think management ability and some good, I think, leadership to that division. So thanks. We're happy to have you. He has his bachelor's in accounting and an MBA from Loyola, and has a long list of certifications as appropriate for a chief internal auditor. So we're thrilled to have him and thrilled to have him here.
So somebody from DePaul hired somebody from Loyola.
Shocking, yes, I know. I've tried.
That's as bad as Purdue and the U of I in the engineering world.
Right, I know. Well, you know, we'll sometimes make exceptions. He does have an undergrad from the University of Illinois, so that, I think, saved him. So anyway, but no, he's a great addition to the team here. Wanted to discuss briefly our capital planning forums. I know that Trinise has been working with all of you to schedule those and find an opportunity for you all to attend those through the month of July. We're pleased to be moving forward with those, and pleased to be moving forward with kind of the first step in prioritizing and getting some feedback on some tentative priorities around our capital plan. We've been going through, as you all recall, over the last year, you know, an extensive review of potential capital projects and future capital projects for the tollway. Both in board meetings and the special session, we had continued discussions of it, so I thank you all for your feedback on that. The slide on the screen is really part of the presentation I'm going to be giving. I've walked through previously the public presentation I've been giving and will continue to give about kind of the challenges that the tollway is facing, the steps that we've taken in our budgeting process, but our capital planning efforts. We really have, I think, gone through and done some good work around reviewing a variety of capital projects, but some have, I think, risen to the top based on all of your feedback and our analysis. And I've heard, and I think we've all taken very seriously, that our number one job is to take care of our existing system. And we've identified that we see the existing system needs through 2026 as being about $6.1 billion. That would include a rebuild and widening of the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway. We've talked about that project extensively. I think we've heard feedback from all of you that doing that sooner rather than later, not spending those dollars on resurfacing when really what we need to do is rebuild. So I think working toward figuring out how to bring that project and move that project up from not 2017 and beyond when it's currently scheduled, but seeing if we could start it sooner. And again, avoid those resurfacings which are having a diminishing impact on that important project. So we have the additional list. If we can just go ahead, because we've walked through these before. These are the existing system needs, reconstruction of the tri-state, preserving 88, the Reagan Memorial Tollway, doing some work there. We need to do some work on 355 in the coming years, road, bridge, and other maintenance facility repairs, and then other capital projects, interchanges, or other just maintenance needs of the tollway. There's some significant costs that we're going to be incurring, and I know we've walked through those before. But we've taken your direction seriously on that. The next stage, I think the feedback that we've heard from the board is that there are some regional projects and new projects that may be important to the region and important for the tollway to take on. We want to go out and get feedback on those, certainly, but also, you know, there's still some work to be done on identifying the resources to pay for these projects. And those are really, in addition to those existing system needs, we think the next tier from the feedback we've had is the Elgin O'Hare West Bypass, a project that has been decades in the making. The governor convened his advisory council, and I think there was some significant progress made through that effort on reaching some regional consensus around that project, but also identifying the future challenges in how to pay for it and how large the project is. But that would be one that the tollway, you know, might prioritize if again we can identify the right resources to cover the cost of it. 294-57, an interchange project that has been was overlooked nationally, and one of the few places that two interstates cross in the country, but you can't get from one to the other. The tollway has continued to work with IDOT on that project because it would be a partnership, and you've been clear that you, I think, want it to be a partnership with the tollway and IDOT, but that's also another one that is something that should move up on our list and be a more near-term project for us, again, you know, given the right resources. Then I think we've done some, you know, significant review of a couple of other important regional projects but may have a longer horizon. The Illinois Route 53 North Extension, we heard from a variety of different groups in Lake County when that project was reviewed at the board. Both those supporting the project, those articulating that they have some concerns about the environmental impacts and how that would impact the standard of living and environment and green efforts in Lake County. Our recommendation on this project is, I think we've heard from the board and from the community that this may be something that's an important need for the region. It is part of CMAP's 2040 plan and a priority in CMAP's 2040 plan, but we would like to make sure that there's consensus there on exactly what should be moved forward and how we should move forward. So we would recommend that the tollway convene a Blue Ribbon Advisory Council on that project to really reach consensus around is there a design and a scope and a project there that all parts of the community can get around. So both the proponents and advocates for the project, but also the environmental community, some of the groups that have traditionally had some hesitation about the project, the transit community, you know, is there something that all parties can agree on? What we wouldn't want is to take on a capital project that then we end up getting sued or in some way delayed for decades in implementing. We want to make sure that we have the right consensus from all of the potential stakeholders before moving forward on a project. So I think we've gotten, I think, some good feedback that we need to go and seek that, and our recommendation is that we would convene an advisory council to do that with some broad participation
from a lot of interest groups. And it's important, you know, I live up in that area, that we involve North Cook County in that planning as well, because on a practical level, it dead ends at Lake Cook, and so the bottleneck starts there. And also there's a piece of 53 that is now a freeway but looks like a tollway, that it would be odd to have a several mile piece that's not tolled going into toll again. So they're going to have to reach some consensus on that issue too. So we've talked about that in the past, but some kind of a, like the O'Hare Commission, because I think it'll give everybody A, figure out how to pay for it, and B, how to make it environmentally work, and then C, what's practical.
I think we certainly found and are taking a page from the governor's playbook, so to speak, and that Elgin O'Hare West Bypass Advisory Council, I think, made some tremendous progress on that project, kind of positioning it well to potentially move forward, and we think that a similar advisory council effort here is a worthwhile pursuit, and ultimately I think positions us puts us in a better position to make some determinations on when and how to proceed. And then I think that based on what the feedback that we've gotten, again, a project that is further out for the tollway but potentially an important project regionally is the Illiana Expressway. It's currently something that IDOT is working on with the state of Indiana. I think we've heard your encouragement that we need to, you know, keep an eye on that project, be available to be of assistance there to IDOT and their planning efforts, and you know, position the tollway to, if given the right direction from certainly the General Assembly and the governor and the other powers that be, but we need to be in a position to be helpful there and reserve some resources to do maybe some initial studies or again, assist in whatever we need to do for that very potentially important project for the southern part of our region. So these will be, and I think have been, and we'd love to discuss it, although we've had some significant discussion up to this point, but this will be the list of projects that we will go out tentatively as, you know, the first step toward the creation of the capital plan that we're required to create this year with the general public, again, making them aware of, you know, the pressures that we have with our existing system and the needs that we have there, but to get some feedback over the month of July, and I appreciate very much all of you and your agreement in working with Trunice to agree to participate and attend in at least one of those capital planning forums. I think it'll be tremendously important for us to get that input and bring it back to the board, you know, at our meeting in July as we continue, you know, our capital planning efforts. So we again appreciate all of your cooperation, and we look forward to kind of bringing back the feedback. Many of you will hear it in the meetings, but bringing back the feedback at the July board meeting. So,
and everyone has seen the schedule of when the public forums will be.
Yeah, the capital planning forums. So, and we'll, you know, certainly we continue to keep you apprised of those, and we think that'll be a landmark effort to get that consensus as we move forward with our efforts.
And one of the things we've been talking about is whether we can broadcast those. Is that going to be possible?
We're looking into it. I think that we certainly would like to make them as open as possible. They'll be, you know, publicized. Whether they be webcast or not, we'll look at the kind of our technology.
You can maybe tape them and then redo it at a later time.
We could. I think we might be. It's very possible we'd be able to webcast them. We'll have to transport the equipment there, but I think ultimately we'd like to, you know, make sure that everybody who wants to, if they can't come and participate in the actual meeting, the opportunity to view them, and of course there'll be opportunity for feedback, you know, in other ways too. You don't have to come to the meeting, but we'll be looking to solicit feedback from people, you know, outside of those meetings as well, and electronically or in other ways. So we want to try to make it as open a process as possible.
I think the most important part of this whole slide is the very first box, that
yes,
we have an obligation to preserve our existing system, and kind of that never again attitude that the board, immediately before the board I joined, ended up inheriting a system that had been neglected from a maintenance aspect for 30 or 40 years, and that was the first phase of the major capital program. And at least from my perspective, and I hope the other board members agree, the taking care of the existing system so as stewards, the next person or people we hand it to, is in a state of good repair, and never again do we run into a multi-billion dollar problem of just making sure the potholes aren't so big that they swallow the truck. And I appreciate the way you've ranked these. We might have a little disagreement, but I think there's probably very general agreement on the first two are very important, and I think that taking care of the existing system is probably our number one need.
Absolutely, and we've heard that message loud and clear, and certainly in all of my communication on it and our comments on it, we've been very clear with everyone that, you know, our board has been very clear on this point. And I certainly am in agreement with you that our first priority must be, you know, our existing system and making sure that it's in good repair and we're doing what we need to do on our existing system.
And I think the other thing we should just note is that we are also exploring some things that are different for the tollway, whether it's going to be congestion pricing or whether it's going to be bus rapid transit. One of the things about the last CRP was there was a lot of widening and adding lanes. I think we may be at a point where we need to think, is that the right thing for us to be doing? And if not, how do we address some of these issues in a different way? And I think the Elgin O'Hare work group, as well as the I-90 corridor and the Hope 53 group, the Blue Ribbon Committee that's put together, will be charged with the responsibility of thinking beyond the traditional way that we may have solved our problems in the past.
Well, an interesting note from the meeting on I-90 that I attended last week, there seemed to be complete consensus that adding lanes on the Jane Addams from Rockford in, that if the decision by this board is to add lanes as part of this project, that those should be our first test case in congestion pricing or some type of HOV or whatever they call it, lanes where there's a higher price to move faster. And there also seemed to be sort of a consensus that the poor fellow from IDOT didn't feel happy about, that when our system ended at Rosemont, we need the state and the city of Chicago to step up to the table and stop the congestion from Rosemont downtown and from downtown to Rosemont. Because if we do what we are moving toward doing, we will move people comfortably from Rockford, Elgin, Hoffman Estates. We don't want to take them to a bottleneck, and the IDOT folks were at the meeting last week and they were fairly quiet on that, but it's we're asking them to get prepared to step up as well, because for us to make these kind of tough decisions, we need a true partnership. So it was a good idea to everybody at the meeting, but I think he was a little surprised at how the folks from Boone County were advocating that we be able to get people from Rosemont downtown and out. And employment-wise, it was kind of shocking. There was a report, and I can't remember the exact numbers. There's almost an equal number of people now commuting from the city to work in the north suburb, northwest suburbs, as from the northwest suburbs downtown. So it's not just a one-way problem. It's
right.
A two-way problem.
I think that there's some exciting work that's going to be done on that effort as well. So we appreciated your coming to that meeting, and I wanted to update the board on that in a minute here. So,
plus, we now have an advocate at the CTA.
Well, I was going to say, leadership at the CTA and new leadership will be coming.
Sadly left to the tollway, but on to...
Doug represented the CTA, so we reminded him that he was sitting in his chair, which was a tollway chair.
Okay. Good. So we'll see everybody at the
Capital Planning Forum. So very good. We wanted to give you an update on our electronic tolling assessment that we initiated. If you recall, this was an assessment that we initiated after we identified issues surrounding some Indiana violations and notices last summer. Shauna has been doing yeoman's work leading this charge, and we wanted to provide an update on her work and some of our recommendations surrounding that effort.
Yo Person's
work, I'm sorry. Yeah. Coming from the first woman as the executive director of the tollway, I can't believe I made that mistake. I'm so sorry.
Your word, Yo Person.
Yo Person.
Or just Yo.
Good morning, everyone.
How about the hard
happy
work?
To be here today to update you on the results of the electronic tolling assessment that we called for last year in the wake of the Indiana concern. If we go to the first slide to remind everybody a little bit of the background. We had initiated this in response to the discovery of the Indiana concern around violations, but also to help inform the selection of the new system, because we wanted to really understand, is there anything else we can do to the system to keep it going, to make it better? Do we need the new system that we think we need? We conducted this over about a 5-month period. We completed the core analysis in early June and just received the final report. If we go to the next slide, I also wanted to remind everybody a little bit about the context this took place in. Because at the same time that we were trying to understand our existing system and our opportunities with the existing system, we were also trying to think forward. Because that's obviously the most important place to always look. And there are those three circles there represent the areas that this assessment really helped us drill down into a little bit better in our existing strategy of going towards a new system, redefining our business rules, et cetera. So the first one there, redefining our business rules, this assessment spoke to our need to take everything that we've learned from open road tolling these past years and really meld it into something more streamlined and put a system in place to support that. I think it was pretty loud and clear when it talked about the complexity of our existing business rules and how hard they are to even really document. So that was